Good morning. Isn't this a beautiful day? Boy, after all this nasty weather we've had, and just a bright sunshine outside, that's a S-U-N and S-O-N shining inside. So good to see you this morning. For some announcements, first, Deacons and WAB meetings Tuesday here at 7 p.m. MTBA gathering. Of course, that always conflicts with ours, so, but any of you that can't want to go to that, the prayer thing, you're welcome to. Church business meeting March the 4th at 7 p.m. Spring cleanup Saturday, March the 14th at 8 a.m. Join us in the fellowship to refresh and care for our building and grounds. All help is appreciated. See Jackie Dozier with any questions. I think he's got some lists and stuff made up too for you. So we're. Oh, there he is. I was looking for you back here. He's hiding in the choir. Okay. You got a list all made up, right? Yeah. WMA fundraising luncheon. That's the Sunday the 15th after the worship service. Your donations will enable the WMA to continue its many faith-based projects. Please direct any questions to Annette. And men's fellowship breakfast Saturday the 21st at 8 a.m. in the fellowship hall. All churchmen are encouraged to attend. A sign-up sheet in the fellowship hall. Any other announcements? Anything? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have the opportunity to be here before your presence this morning, to come to offer you our worship and praise and thanksgiving for all that you do, and to thank you especially for your Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who gave his life for us, and to thank you that you have shown such great love and such great mercy upon us, and that we come now to give you honor and glory. And as we go through this worship service now, may we be attentive unto your voice, the moving of your Spirit, for we come in the holy and precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Step into the water.
Way down the
Okay, 193. Everybody stand as we sing.
Good morning, everybody. As he said, let the children come. Let the children come forward. I saw a few kids. Hey, Tim. Hey, Toby. Hey. How are you guys? You guys doing okay? I got thumbs up. That must be a good thing. Another thumbs up. So look at this. I got these toys. They're my grandson's toys. What's happening here? They're stuck, aren't they? They're stuck. Tim, I got a question for you. Do you think these toys can get unstuck by themselves? No, they can't, can they? They need help, right? Well, guess what? Our lives are very similar. There are some days we get stuck. And there are some days we need help. And guess who helps us? Jesus helps us. Yes, God. God sent his son Jesus to help us get unstuck. And that's something I want you to remember. So what did Jesus do for us? He helped us unstuck. So if I give you this, Tim, I'm going to give it to you. Can you reach in with your hand and unstuck one? Is that a word, unstuck one? Sounds good. Hey, you got it out. All right, so that's what Jesus is there for. He helps us get unstuck. You can help too. You know, sometimes we get stuck. Sometimes, especially before we know Jesus, we have times in our lives where we say the wrong things, do the wrong things, not the best person in the world. But God sent Jesus to help unstuck us. He helps save us, and he will always be there for us. And I want you to remember that Jesus, through him, anything and everything's possible. And, you know, we've talked about this the last few weeks. He loves us, and he promises to take care of us. And you remember, Tim, we talked about this last week? Where are we? We're right in Jesus' hand. Toby, that's a nice picture. I like your little Etch-a-Sketch thing. That's way cool. Well, I tell you what, while we think about that, why don't we say a little prayer before we go in the back room, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, we give thanks for you sending Jesus, your Son, to unstuck us, to help us live the good life, that we know that we are in your hand and no one can take us out of your hand. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, guys. All right, I better take my grandson's cars back. Could be problems at the homestead if I don't do that. Thank you. So the sun decided to come out today, and I see a lot of smiling faces here today that I haven't seen for a while. We have some visitors. We have some people that have been home because the weather's been yucky and messy. But it's such a joy to see the church filling back up today. We have a lot of things going on. A lot of people aren't feeling the best these days, so we lift them up into prayers. We know Ed had a procedure this week, and he's feeling a little tired, and despite the sunshine, he's a little under the weather. We know that Shelley's mom had a procedure, and she's recovering. There's some others that have been brought to our attention that aren't doing well. Deanne Brinks, which is the friend of the Harrimans, is not doing well, so we lift her name up. We know Sam Baker, a friend of our guest Kenny today, is not doing well, so we lift the name up. And a lot of people seem to be making roads to recovery, but they're still not with us. We know Mate Swift's still in the hospital. We lift him up. Bless you. God bless you. Brenda's still not feeling the best. Joe Turpin is still recovering from having a toe amputated. Does anybody else have anyone they want to lift up to prayer? Yes.
I'd like to lift up Dale Arrington and Mary.
Oh, what's happening with them? Well, thank you for sharing. As you guys know, they've adopted their grandson and taking care of him, and you've seen Braden in church many times, but they have a difficult journey with him sometimes. So definitely we lift them up, and I thank you for sharing. I'll reach out to them this week. They're great people. And I understand, I forgot to look at my calendar, but I believe I heard Warren has a birthday this week. 25 still. And holding.
And lightning's coming down, and I'm moving back.
Hey, after everything Warren's been through the last 4 to 5 years, it's just it's amazing that you're still with us. We're so glad to see your smile. I hope everybody has a blessed week. If anybody has anything they need to share, please get a hold of me and we'll reach out to the people. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you especially for the amazing grace, that grace that you have shown us, that unmerited favor, something that you have given to us, though we don't deserve it, and to know that you have given us eternal life. You've saved us through your Son, and we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for him being there, him being our high priest. Then we can, as we go through this morning, as we pray, we're going through him to you. And we thank you for all the many great things of life that you do for us. And we pray, Father, for those in our church family that are in the hospital. We pray that you would be with those, strengthen them, bring them back. Be with those that are ill at home, those that are recovering from injury, whatever it may be. We pray that you would be with them and especially let them know of your love and care for them and in a special way. And Father, I offer up a special prayer this morning. Offer up a prayer for our military and for the military of Israel, as they're going to set free an oppressed people, the people of Iran who have been oppressed for so many years and has so many have been slaughtered, been killed mercilessly. And we pray, Father, that they would be set free as you intend for all people of all nations to be free. And we pray, Father, that you would guard our military and see them safely through this campaign, then it won't be long that peace will be brought about in the East. And we pray now, Father, all that's done and said as we go through this service now is your glory and honor as we come in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
Okay, our offertory hymn this morning is 343, Amazing Grace. We're going to break all the rules this morning. We're going to sing all five verses. Stand as we sing.
Now we come to a part of our worship where we come back to give to the Lord. Now think about what he did for us. He gave his son a sacrifice, sacrificed his life, died for our sin. And so as we come and give back this morning, think about we need to make sacrifice. We need to make sacrifice of our material possession, of what he so greatly blessed us with, that we give back to him, show our gratitude, and show that we want his work to go forth in this world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you now to bring our offerings and gifts to you, to say that we love you, and we want to see your work to go forth, to see more people to find the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and that more people will be doing your work in the world. This we all pray in his holy and precious name. Amen. Ben already figured out why we sang Amazing Grace. That was a special request I made to Annette Monday, because that's also going to be my message this morning. Fuller Seminary, a while back, celebrated its 40th anniversary with the inauguration of the president's lectureship in an early November. The four speakers included such heavy hitters as Carl F. H. Henry, the theologian, Samuel Hugh Moffat, professor emeritus of ecumenicism and missions at Princeton, Mary Stuart Van Leeuwen, professor of interdisciplinary studies at Calvin College, and Gary Weisger III, retired pastor. In his opening address, Weisger displayed characteristic humility in the company of such academic luminaries. "I have been a pastor by the grace of God. If I could do it all over again, I would be a pastor. I have never frankly regarded myself as a scholar. I have tried to be studious, and I want to thank Dr. David Hubbard for including me in this program today. A farmer once put his mule in a horse race, and his friend said to him, 'Silly, that mule can't run with those thoroughbreds.' And the farmer said, 'I know it, but you have no idea how it makes him feel good to be with all those horses.'" Grace, God's love for us, unmerited favor. And we just sang the hymn, Amazing Grace. Literally hundreds of hymnals have been published, and many are out of print today, but every one of them contains Amazing Grace. I heard it played on the bagpipes one day. I was at Arlington Seminary, cemetery. I get to a cemetery. Sometimes the seminary can be a cemetery. But I was there. I had been working part-time with the funeral home there in Williamsburg, and I had went as escort the widow of an Army colonel who was being buried in Arlington. And I was there as her escort, standing next to her through the service. Of course, the chaplain did the service. No surprise, I heard the gun salute. But then all of a sudden, I heard bagpipes in the background. Amazing Grace. And it just, the hair on my spine just went up and down. I'm going to tell you, just put chills there. It's not the melody or the harmony that is so inspiring, as it is the presence of God's grace within it. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. You know, that's, you might call that the Baptist anthem. So we're going to look at God's amazing grace today. I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 9, and we're going to look at this. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespass and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Grace reached out to us when we were dead in our sins and headed to hell. What is grace? The Hebrew word means to bend, to stoop. Grace is love that stoops. A loving God who has stooped down and gave us a free gift. Think about that. Think and get a picture of a king, a royal king, reaching down to his servants, to his people, and offering them a free gift. And that's what he's done for us. Now, it's undeserved and it's unmerited. I don't care how good you think you are or how much you do, you cannot earn grace. It is God's gift. Look what it says here. We were dead. We were dead. Look the psalm amazes me. I was lost. That being dead in your sin. Death. What is death? It is not just the dying physically, but it's the eternal death. It's to be separated. Separated from God. It is alienation from God. As long as you're here and you're alive, God's love is available. But if you die without Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are separated from God forever. That is what hell is. It's separation from God. You are spiritually dead without Jesus Christ. A person who does not have Christ is said to be spiritually dead. I look at it this way. I look at lost people as the walking dead. Now, I don't get into this zombie things and the walking dead thing, but you're like that without Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're a walking dead person. See, we were disobedient. We followed by the ways of the world. But the ways of the world is corrupt. We followed the ways of the devil. He's the one in charge of all this mess. I can't help this, but I thought as soon as I heard Khomeini was killed in that first attack and 40 of his cohorts, you know what I thought? There's more in hell today. Evil. It's just flat evil. It says we were depraved. What does it say in the song? A wretch like me. An old Indian lived many years ago in sin, was led to Christ by a missionary. Friends asked him to explain the change in his life. He took and placed a worm on a pile of leaves and set a match to the leaves. And before the flames could reach the worm, he picked up the worm and put it in the palm of his hand, and he gave this testimony of the grace of God. He said, "Me that worm." That's what he did. We were doomed, the object of God's wrath. Now, we always talk about God's love, and everybody knows, yes, and well, God is a God of love and so forth. But they also need to realize he's a God of judgment. He's a God of wrath. But grace loved us. He loved us and had mercy on us. We didn't deserve it. But he did it. His very nature is love and mercy. That saved us. That's that amazing grace. That is what saved us. And as the song says, how precious is that grace? How precious is it? It is what Paul described or couldn't describe. It was undescribable in human terms, in words, just what that grace is, how valuable it is. It's unexpressible. It's so great. Grace gave us life. He made us alive in Christ. When we were dead in our sins, he quickened us together with Christ. What does it say? Now am found, now I see. Grace has secured our future. God has raised us up with Christ. Without Christ, there is no hope. There is no future. And what does it say? We sit in heavenly places. We're citizens of heaven. We're pilgrims here working our way there. But we're not citizens of this world anymore. Now we're in it, but not of it. But we're heavenly citizens. To show us the riches of his grace. How rich is that? Think about this. You know, you hear descriptions of heaven. And of course, that's the best terms that John could explain to us of what vision he got. But it's so great, so rich. And we are joint heirs with Jesus. That's our inheritance. It's rich. As the song goes, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Grace has secured our salvation. Saved by God's grace, by God and God alone. Saved through faith. That's what God counts as our righteousness, is our faith. Our faith in what? Our faith in Christ on the cross. Trust in him and him alone for our salvation. It is his work. It is his death. It is his resurrection. Faith calls God to credit us with salvation. And we receive the gift by faith. Nothing else. Now, you're not saved by yourself. Listen to this. You're saved by the gift of God, not of works. You can't make God owe you. No matter how hard you work and how much you try to do for him, he doesn't owe you anything. You can't make God forgive you. You can't bring perfection to God. Listen to this. I know we all, you ask anybody, you know, and they're going to go to heaven and say, well, yeah, there's a loving God. But I'm basically good. You know, that's human nature. We remember most of the good things. We don't remember but a small percentage of the bad stuff. I don't know how many of you cooks are ever preparing an omelet. What does it take to make an omelet? Eggs. Let's say you're going to make an omelet for a group. And let's say you're going to take and use 12 eggs. But one of those eggs is bad. And you use that bad egg with the 11 good eggs. Is that omelet going to be acceptable to your guest? No. That's the same way with God. There's some bad in that, so we're unacceptable to God. You can't heal God's heart. His heart is broken over what we've done. You cannot save yourself. Get the picture of this. You're in, I don't know, swimming pool, the ocean, the bay, wherever, the river somewhere, wherever it may be, especially around here. And let's say you're drowning. What's the old expression, going down for the third time? Can you take yourself by the hair and pull yourself up? You cannot. It's the same thing. We cannot save ourselves. And you can't make God love you. But he loves us through his son, Jesus Christ. And look at this, what it says. I love this. Lest any man boast. You probably know some braggarts in your life here or there or somewhere. You want to get away from those, don't you? Always bragging about, look at what I did, and look at how good I am, look at all this and so forth. Look at me. Think about this. What would heaven be like if everybody up there was bragging on how they got there? The only way you're going to get there is through Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, his work and death on the cross. John Newton, I don't know if you're familiar with him, he's the author of Amazing Grace. He, as a young man, his mother died. I think he was either 7 or 9 years old when his mother died. His dad was a sea captain, and at about the age of 11, he started going to sea on ships. And he did that for a while, and then eventually he became a captain. But he was a captain of a slave ship. And I have read somewhere at one time he was even much of a slave to this African queen. And he was hauling slaves out of Africa. One night, they got in a terrible storm. The ship was floundering. And back then, they don't have like today. I know you fellas like me have a boat. You got electric bilge pumps, right? Some of them on an automatic switch. Big ships, you know, have big pumps. But back then, the pump was a hand thing. And you two fellas, one on either side, pumping up. And they had to pump water out of the ship all night long. But they thought they were going to die. And as the sun come up and they came out of the storm, this is where John Newton found Jesus Christ. And then he, for a while, tried to reason it out. He still was a captain of a slave ship. He started treating the slaves better and everything. But then after a year, he finally realized, and God pointed it out to him, it was wrong, and he gave it up. And he became a minister and an abolitionist. And that's John Newton. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praises than when we first begun. How great is that? I look for that day. I hope in each and every one of you know and have the hope that that's where you're going and that's what you're looking for. God's amazing grace. He gave his son for wretches like us. Do you know him today? Is he your Lord and Savior? Did he die for you? He died for everybody that will accept him. Now, some people think his death is universal. That means everybody is saved. No. He died for everybody, but only those who will put their faith and trust in him as a Lord and Savior. Have you done that? If no, you need to. Because the alternative isn't good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your giving your son for us. While we were yet sinners, and you didn't ask our permission, you just went and gave your son for us and said, here he is, here's how much I love you, and I'm willing to forgive you if you will accept my son. And someday you will be in eternity with me through him. We pray, Father, not a soul lives here today without knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. For it is in his holy and precious name we come. Amen. Are you washed in the blood? Now we come to this table, a table that was prepared by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ the night before, or the night of, actually, of his arrest, and of course his trial, and then going to the cross. But in that, he said, as oft as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. So today we want to remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Remember what he did for us. And of course the elements of this are the cup, of which he said was his task that he had to perform, that the shedding of his blood for the forgiveness of our sin. And then the bread symbolizes his body, the body that was given for us, that we know that life was given as an example of what we were supposed to be and how we should be. And then, of course, that body given on the cross. So we do that in remembrance of him, and remember, it was sacrifice on his part. He did it willingly. He didn't have to do it. You know, when something we covered in our study of Hebrews the other night, we're talking about Jesus willingly came down and became a person like us and lived among us. He had a choice. We didn't have a choice. A man and a woman brought us into the world. They didn't ask us. They procreation. We came into the world without. But Jesus came doing it willingly. And so let us remember that today. And as Paul said, let us come rightly to the table. That is coming, having been forgiven of our sins and our shortcomings. Not to take it lightly, but to take it seriously. And so I want to take a few moments for us to silent meditation, that we go to the Lord, ask him to search our hearts. If anything we've done we haven't asked for forgiveness, we do so. And if things we are unaware of, that he would make it aware of us to now, that we come having come clean, coming right to his table, that is being forgiven. So let us go to the Lord together, and then I will close it. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this privilege and honor to come before your table, a table that was prepared by your Son. And we pray that we come worthy of it today, having been forgiven of our sins and shortcomings and placed our faith in him and all he's done for us. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus took the bread, he broke it, and he blessed it. Let's pray. Thank you for this bread, Jesus, that is a symbol of your body, a body that was given for us on the cross. This we pray in your holy and precious name. Amen. Then he said, take, eat, for this is my body given for you. Then he took the cup and he blessed it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we hold before you this cup, a symbol of the task that you performed upon the cross for us, that of the shedding of your blood for the forgiveness of our sin. Thank you for that great sacrifice and help us to live up to it in faith. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This happened before, but we ran out of cups. So anyway, so we don't have one. But Jesus took the cup and he said, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which was shed for the remission of your sins. I'm going to do a benediction. I'll be here today. And do the benediction, then we're going to sing, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. Okay, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege and honor to be here with you today. And we pray that as we go out into the world, we think about that grace that you've shown us and that we can tell others about it, especially those who have not heard, and that they too can come to find Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And in the meantime, keep us safe and protect us till we come back together. For we go in Jesus' name. Amen.